and welcome to the UFO Congress Show on the Jerry Pippin Show, UFO Files. We are at the Laughlin, Nevada on the beautiful Colorado River. And, of course, we're at the Aquarius Casino Resort. And the Congress has been very successful. One of the things that's very interesting is that you find find people who don't really get a, you know, you don't get a chance to meet them normally, but at these conferences, they seem to want to come out, and they agree to interviews when normally they're pretty hard to get to do an interview with. And we have a fellow right now by the name of Gordon Novell, who is infamous, I guess. Gordon, how are you?
Oh, I wouldn't say infamous. I'd say
semi-famous. Okay, semi-famous then. Anyway, Gordon, we're going to deal with a lot of things on the show, if it's okay with you.
Okay.
But first of all, the first thing that I noticed when I became aware that you were interested in UFOs and extraterrestrial territory was the fact that you've actually had a lot of experience trying to develop these alien reproduction vehicles.
Oh, we got somewhat
lucky. I mean, you got a whole company there going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a real effort. It's something that we're very intent on doing. If we don't do it, we don't feel there's going to be any, there isn't going to be much of a planet left.
And in fact, that's going to bring us up to some of the things. You have lots of contacts in Washington. Would I refer to you as a private investigator or an entrepreneur, businessman? What would you be?
I'm sort of an industrialist.
Okay, an industrialist.
Yeah,
that's an industrialist. Okay, Gordon Novell, industrialist. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your experience with these alien reproduction vehicles? So you've really got this down. You've done a lot of research with some scientists and groups, and you have people working in your company on this. And there seems to be a guy over in France that says that he's got the technology that you're hooked in with.
That would be Eric Julian, yes.
Yeah.
He's got some really adroit theories on time as not being what we think it is. Sort of like a rubber band. You can make it do whatever you want and go backwards and forwards in it and use it to make giant leaps across the universe and stuff like that. He's really the cat's meow for the issue of time, which is probably the core of most of the...
Now you and I have talked about this before on the phone, and you think this time travel element is key.
It's elementary, because you can't negate gravity without negating time. When you're able to negate time, then you can actually manipulate it so that you can go forward or backwards in it.
At one time when I was talking to you, you were looking around maybe for some government employees that have been involved in this sort of thing for the government, back engineering, and maybe they wanted to go into a private enterprise with you. Any luck on that?
We're always open. The door's wide open. We're definitely going to pay better.
And how could they get a hold of you? I guess through our website. We'll get in contact with you.
You
got a Yahoo address.
Yeah, it's GordonNovell@Yahoo.com.
So people can remember that.
G.Novell@Yahoo.com.
Now, I started talking about these things first. I want to get to your Hollywood bound, and we'll talk about that a little later.
Yeah.
But one of the things a lot of people don't understand or maybe haven't read about your background is you've been interested in the theater all along, too. You were at the Pasadena Playhouse, right?
As a kid, yeah.
Yeah, as a kid. I always wanted to make it there, never did. So
yeah.
If I remember correctly, you had to audition or something to get in.
Oh, yeah. You had to do a little number.
So... What were you in?
I wasn't interested in acting as much as I was interested in producing and directing.
But you did something with Michael Todd. Remember him? Around the 80 days?
I worked for him when he was building his balloons and built some of those original display balloons that were used for the film.
Now
at the meeting.
So this is... This is really, and I guess a lot of people say, well, Pippin, you need to settle down. You need to get into one area. But I don't even, you know, I can't hold a candle to you, Gordon. You've done everything from Waco investigations to you name it.
Watergate, JFK, you name it. Worked on them all.
Now, in that, a lot of people know you from the... Kennedy movie. They got that wrong about you, didn't they?
The movie was right. It portrayed me as the Mr. X character who was advising Garrison inaccurately, which is what I was doing.
So that was a disinformation deal? Or can you talk about it?
Yeah, I was kind of working at the White House at the same time I was working for Garrison, and he figured I was working for CIA, which was wrong, and decided to make me a CIA agent, which I've never been able to shed. And it's not that I want to shed it, it's just that...
It's a good image. You get a good seat at a restaurant that way.
Yeah.
If you don't give him a good seat, he'll kill you.
That's right.
You've never killed
I avoid that assiduously. You know, it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Bad karma. Lots of bad karma.
Well, you really think that... we're on to something with the alien technology, with the alien reproduction vehicle. I mean, how much progress has really been made in this area, you think? I'd love to go out to Area 51
They've been flying them since 1965. They spent a Manhattan Project worth of money on it from 1947 to 65, and they had them flying in 65, and they put them away because... they discovered that they could get energy for nothing, and that would interfere with their leaders who control the money that controls the energy, and they want to keep control of everything. So they want to keep selling that oil and polluting that atmosphere.
And now I understand that you've been talking to some of your sources in Washington, and you're very connected to some people in the CIA. If you didn't work for them, you know them pretty well.
Yeah, we have a mutual admiration society.
Okay, they are preparing for some sort of natural disaster, you think, or what?
Well,
or are they going to create it?
We're going to go from global warming, and in 3 or 4 years, we're going to have a thing called a tipping point, and we're going to head into global burning, and that could accelerate exponentially, and from global burning you get a melting of the ice caps, and the methane comes loose out from under the Russian tundra and under the ice caps, and that's enough to cause the atmosphere to get saturated, which is very poisonous, and at the same time highly flammable. So there's a point.
So that this methane and other gases will come up, and not only will it kill you if you breathe, but somebody's going to light a match.
Somebody's going to light a match when the atmosphere gets sufficiently saturated with the methane, and the whole atmosphere will go flash, and everything on Earth gets burned up, and the Bible was right. We end up in flames.
So now, when we talk about things like this happening, is there any way anybody in Washington really trying to prevent it officially now?
Yeah. There's a move on within the intelligence community to take the technology back from Majestic 12 and get it back over at CIA under their foreign diplomatic control, deploy it commercially, and let the hide go with the hair in terms of the revolution. Because if you don't have to pay for energy, you get to keep 80 cents out of every dollar you spend. And then the distribution pipelines get straightened out because of the ability to pick the grain up in the field and take it directly to where it's going to be finally processed in one move. And the distribution cost goes away. You lose about 95% of the cost of doing business, and the people get to keep that. So the wealth accumulates exponentially, and everybody gets rich. Everybody gets rich.
So we're talking, if you get this free energy project going, it'll definitely be a shock to the economy as it is now.
It'll be a shock to everything, because the problem that we're worried about that comes with it is the paradoxes from knowing what the future is. If you know the future, how do you have markets? How do you have banking? And how do you have risk? It's a risk-averse society, so... we're working on studies right now to get all that squared away so that we can introduce the technology.
So in other words, time travel is an important element in this.
Yeah.
And if you unlock the key and you feel that you guys either have or are very close to it.
Yeah, well, we pretty much pirated the technology, and we went and then took care of the intellectual property aspect of it. So we stole it, and we're not giving it back. That's a good way to put it.
Well, and, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law.
Yeah, and what we would like to do, and this is for the boys at Area 51, is we just kind of like to make a trade, and we'll trade you our intellectual property grab on your technology, and let's go and develop it, fellas, so that you don't end up burying your children, your grandchildren, in the same grave with yourselves in another maybe 6-7 years.
So, in other words, we're talking maybe making a deal. You made deals all your life.
Yeah. We're really pitching the powers that be right now to make a deal to get the technology into a very rapid state of development and turn cars into Back to the Future and basically eliminate the going to the gas station to get gas because you don't need it. Little motors turn big generators and gravitationally nullified fields of space. So,
it's mind-boggling to all of us that think about, well, I can go 200 miles on a tank. You're talking about just going wherever you
perpetually. And you buy your vehicle.
You're talking about electric bill.
No electric bill. The energy, as we understand it, time contains the energy.
And you think? And we mentioned Area 51 out of the blue. Let's hone in on that a minute. What is this? Where they're developing all this?
Or? Yeah, they've been developing it out there since they built it with the dope money that they took out of Vietnam
and
Afghanistan, Colombia.
Hey, you've gotten in places where you can't go before. You got any way for us to get into Area 51?
We just think that somebody needs to chat with us before we. We go to the sphincters with it because we have a plan to bring it out, take it public. We're finishing the studies, which are really important to be able to get the geopolitics of it squared away so that CIA can, deploy it.
Now, I know for a fact that you have certain people at the CIA that do have their arms around you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have. Like I said, we're very affectionate.
and so... there is an element of protection here, so you're not going way out when you come out and say these things.
No. What we did is when all of this was put into a book that we decided not to publish about 3-4 years ago, and then we put the book on CD-ROMs and sent them around the world and made a list of all the intelligence agencies, directorates of science and technology, and all the energy companies, research departments, all the science magazines, and we just basically are green mailing them to, if they attack us, then it goes on the web and everything's chaos, big time.
So in other words, and you've had experience of doing things like this with people before.
Oh, yeah.
I think Lyndon Johnson said you grab them by whatever, you have their hearts and minds.
That was Chuck Colson. I used to work for Colson.
Oh, or Chuck said that.
Yeah, he's the one. Walk over his grandmother. Yeah. Get President Nixon elected.
Yeah. Now, you've worked with almost all types and all kinds of people there.
Yeah.
Over the years, when you did, they came a long way from the Pasadena Playhouse to working for Garrison and working out at the White House
adventure.
At the same time. How'd that happen?
Well, I was working at the White House doing an electronic countermeasures project called Checkmate, and when Garrison started to come out of the closet with his little fairy tale, they said, Gordon, don't you know him? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, can you get a job and kind of get us some inside information? Me, I thought I was James Bond and I was really a jackass and just wet behind the ears and didn't realize I was about to step on landmines. And but I did it anyway, and I got him and pretty much destroyed him, and I'm pretty proud of that because he was full of bull. He was really grand fraud.
You've been asked many times about JFK. You were involved with Waco too.
Yeah, I worked.
That was a civil suit, right?
Yeah, I worked for Ramsey Clark, and we prepared a civil suit. We took to the Supreme Court.
Now he's a former Attorney General, of course.
Yeah, I worked for him for a decade.
And when you talk about Ramsey Clark, a lot of people, he had a high profile, still does.
Yeah.
He's still practicing, right?
Yeah, his last case he lost. Saddam got hung. he represented Saddam Hussein, and they lost.
Yeah, I remember that. We're going to be right back with Gordon Novell. We kind of bounced around this first 15 minutes because we'll give you a flavor of what we're going to be talking about here. I got to get into this deal on Area 51, what we want to do when we come back. Okay,
okay.
Gordon? This is Jerry Pippin. Don't go away. It happened almost 60 years ago, but the debate still rages. Did an alien spacecraft crash outside Roswell, New Mexico in 1947? The most concise and complete series ever broadcast on Roswell, direct from Roswell. New programs added weekly. Check it out on the UFO Files on JerryPippin.com. Gordon Novell, no stranger to controversy. You really didn't go out looking for controversy all the time, even though you got an interesting kind of a character trait that I have. Sometimes it's fun to get in somebody's face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some of them deserve it, you know. They really do, and the bigger the better.
So, how are we going to get into Area 51? How are we going to see these people? See what's happening?
I think that they know we want to white world their technology. Our argument's real simple. The world's going to end unless they let us do it. And what we're trying to do is save time so we don't have to go through the cut and bend experimental development process. And we have their technology. They know we have their technology. And they've expressed themselves rather angrily in 2005, but they didn't succeed in convincing me.
Well,
I should
tell me a little bit about that. What happened?
Oh, it got terrible. They were planting dope on me and causing me to go to jail and stuff like that. But they couldn't indict me, and they couldn't even get me to arraignment because their cases. I'm a pretty fair detective, and I'd make their cases fall apart by threatening the DAs with big lawsuits.
So where did this happen? In Vegas?
It happened in Vegas. It happened in New Orleans. It happened in Phoenix. They hit me with a SWAT team in Phoenix and had me sticking machine guns in my face one night in Phoenix over saying that I was on America's Most Wanted. And I told them, I said, no, I'm not on America's Most Wanted, but you're going to be in federal court tomorrow morning if you don't pull that machine gun down real quick.
And they did this right in a public place.
Oh, yeah, they did it in a public place. So I got rather angry. I called Ramsey on the phone and handed him the phone, told him, I said, I'm his chief investigator, and you better cease and desist because we will sue you all the way to the Supreme Court for the whole value of the city.
Who were these characters that were doing this?
They were a SWAT team. There was
from the police department itself?
Five-man SWAT team. Five machine guns right in my face.
and who do you think sicked them on you?
Well, there are two options. A friend of the actress Linda Gray by the name of Sandra Rose Michael did it, or it was the boys from Majestic. And at this point, it's kind of a toss-up. I don't know who. Linda was a little unhappy with me. And
were you having an affair with Linda?
No, we were having an affair.
I was going to congratulate you. I didn't know, but I guess she turned out not to be as friendly as she is on television.
No, they faked some love letters that were not what she wanted to hear, and so she bought off on their fake love letters, and we didn't know that they could just intercept your stuff on the computer and rewrite it and forward it on. And they do that these days. They're really crafty. We are run by a government of gangsters.
They can actually take an email and change it?
Instantly.
It doesn't take any time.
No, they do it quick. Believe me, they're really quick at rewriting emails.
Is there any way we can tell if they're doing it to you? Time?
Not unless you can get the email that you sent out to somebody.
Compare it.
Compare it to the...
Well, that explains my poor relationship with a lot of people.
They're really good at destabilizing you if they want to destabilize you. They can cause you a ton of grief. They can black bag your apartment and steal your 125 videotapes. I want back, gentlemen. And if I don't get them back, you're going to pay for them. Believe me, one way or another, you're going to give me those tapes back.
What kind of videotapes are there?
I had the best collection of UFO videos probably around.
In the where'd they take those away from your apartment?
Yeah, I had an apartment in Vegas, and they kindly went in there without permission and Blu-rayed them.
You've been around the country, but two of the cities that you've operated out of, Las Vegas and New Orleans, they have a huge underbelly of activity from several standpoints.
Oh, yeah, Vegas particularly. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's the slogan was true.
Yeah, I had an incident where guy knocked on my door at 10 o'clock one morning. I was getting ready to go to the dentist. I opened the door, and he pulled a Glock 45 and stuck it in my face.
It's a 9mm.
Yeah,
right?
A big one. No, this is a big...
Oh, the big one.
The
okay.
big one. He told me, he started hollering at me, and I knew he was nuts or just there for intimidation purposes, so I slammed the door, and I picked up the phone, and I called the cops in the front desk. He knocks the door down, the cops come, he hides the gun. I kind of disturbed him with the idea of stabbing him a half a dozen times with a paring knife, and so he accused
me. In other words, the knife had just happened to be there.
It was on the counter that he had me backed up against.
And I guess... Really, I haven't researched this, but you probably have. If you got shot and you were close enough of a knife,
you can stab him a few times before you die.
You could do some damage.
Oh, you can definitely do some damage before you die.
Yeah, okay.
That was why the 45 got invented in the first place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Maori Indians in the
Philippines. Now, did you and all of your investigating time, did you ever carry a weapon?
No, I don't like them. I think they're dangerous. I think they get you in trouble.
Yeah, if you got one, you might want to use it.
I have a little pocket-blinding laser that'll cause your eyeballs to fall out your head and stop your heart, and it's quite legal to have, and it's very painful.
Well, I'm going to remember not to upset you.
Yeah, it's known to stop. It's faster than a bullet, I can assure you.
Now, when we talk about these things like that... Why do you think there's all this violence and investigations and things? I mean, everybody knows about James Bond and all those things, but I guess really the secret here is two-pronged, control and greed, huh? From people that want it. If you got some knowledge, they want it or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
are these people just naturally nasty?
They just naturally don't have anything better to do than to... They intimidate people just for entertainment. They like to intimidate people, and I don't intimidate, so that caused a lot of friction, lots of friction.
Now, you're talking about people that work for decent operations normally, right? And they're nothing but two-bit hoods.
Yeah, that's just what I call it. It's government by gangster these days. It's been government by gangster since they murdered Kennedy. And we're heading into a state of what I call the Fourth Reich. We really are heading in. We are a fascist nation now, and we're a quasi-military police state. I got searched for a gun the other day getting on a bus, on a Greyhound bus, to come out here. So they shook me down for a gun and shook my luggage down. And what was I going to do, to steal the bus and say, take me to Cuba?
You know, one of those, that's a strange thing. Those bus stations and... they go through these little towns. If you were going to get on and cause mayhem, you'd do it in a little town, not in a major bus stop.
Yeah, well, like I said, what am I going to do, steal a bus and get the driver to take me to Cuba? You know,
right,
I mean, what am I going to do with a bus?
Right,
you know,
right.
Get real.
So you're getting hassled still.
Well, I think they hassle everybody. I mean, from what I could see, they were searching everybody at the bus station for weapons and asking them to open their bags and, you know, like you're going to blow up the bus or something. I mean, it's ludicrous. We are heading into a military police state, and even the local cops have got to have their Gestapo fascist tactics, and I don't want to call them the real names I'd like to spew out to them, but they're just fascist, illegitimate sons of Basil or Basil.
Right. No. Do you think this has been... It seems like we've been progressing that way all along. Is some sort of plan?
They want to put us under a military police state condition. I really believe that. That's why I believe they did 9/11. I'm a fan of the big conspiracy at 9/11 too. I saw them do it at Waco, so I know.
Yeah. Well, we're as you know doing a 9/11 series, and you were a good friend with Jim Mars.
Oh yeah.
In fact, you and Jim. Are working on a project together now.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah, we're doing a movie called Kingdoms Come. It's about.
Well, can we talk a little bit about that movie?
Yeah. It looks like we're going to get the money for it.
You have an appointment coming up.
Yeah.
And what is it like? Blow you to Kingdom Come? Is that what you
no,
mean?
No, Kingdoms Come is it's plural, kingdoms,
okay.
Meaning a bunch of civilizations come around here because we develop a weapon system that's undefendable. to launch nukes on the planets before we start rape looting and pillaging the planets around the galaxy. There's a lot of life out there, a lot of nice places to go play Cortez with.
You feel that this is, even though this is fiction, it's pretty much true, what you're saying?
Yeah, I think E.T. has got a real serious interest in seeing us develop into something better and reach a higher spiritual level of one thing and another. And they have been around here. They probably created us, so, or developed us in one way, shape, form, or another. So we're sort of a laboratory, and I'm sure they have thousands, if not millions, of laboratories like us. There's civilizations all over the galaxy and the galaxies. So it's a big universe out there. There's a lot of places. There's more land probably than there's people to put on them.
Now you, have you ever had an ET sighting or a contact?
Oh, I've seen a lot of ETs. I've seen four or five of them. Yeah. I saw one when I was climbing up on the pyramid at Teotihuacan one afternoon, and saw one drop down over the. You could see the bird sitting up on top of a big vortex funnel, and it was there. So I've seen them on three or four occasions.
So, and you've been dealing since 1988 when you formed this company, got
the
involved with these people. About their technology, which I guess we've been stealing since, or trying to steal.
Well, we stole it from the aliens. Who stole it from the aliens, or else they give it away and commit a little suicide to give it to us. They benevolent suicide. And they make you think that they crashed, and you then back engineer it and discover that you can't use it. It's useless. The tits on a bore. And so, you know, you can't use it for a nuclear delivery system because they'll get a little angry about it. They don't want weapons in space. And there are a lot of them out there, believe me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's bunches of them.
How do you know that?
Because NORAD gets about 130, 140 Starship recognition radar intercepts a year or a month. There are plenty of them up there. David Sarita and Dan Aykroyd put on a show recently that called Dan Aykroyd something or other, and they were able to get the pictures from NASA of these big starships, and they're big, and there are a lot of them out there. So they apparently are in the atmosphere doing whatever they're doing, trying to keep us from nuking ourselves and burning the place up, because burning the place up is where we're going if we don't fix it.
It seems to me that this administration and these people running everything now, they seem to think they can take the ET on. I mean, I've heard several speeches about, you know, we can defend ourselves from outer space.
Well, they got beam weapons and one thing and another, but, I mean, if ET wanted us, he could eat us for breakfast real quick. So if there were aggressive ETs, we'd have been speaking somebody's Klingon a long time ago. So they could have taken us at any time they wanted. We haven't got anything they can't get somewhere else, you know, for free. They don't have to fight for it. They just land and take whatever they want. There's plenty of places to get whatever they need in the way of metals.
So where, Gordon, do you think we're going here, besides to hell in the handbasket on the environment? That's pretty obvious. Is there ever going to be disclosure where somebody really officially announces? I mean, why doesn't one of these ETs make themselves known? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's non-interference, at least not interference in the sense that making forced contact. But the problem is that our economy would collapse if they landed, because then somebody would say, well, how'd you get here? Because you can't jump those light years without using up all the energy in the universe, and their answer is the universe contains enough energy to do anything you want. It's nothing but energy. So the problem is they can't come here because it would collapse our economy.
So
free energy is a real bane. You're
aggressively got a group of people together you're involved with,
yeah, big group.
And you're pursuing this free energy and recreation, you know, the whole thing that I think about is not only recreation, but it's going to change the way businesses are done, trucking, et cetera. I mean, you can actually, I guess, move stuff from one point to point B.
You could have a barge fly over a grain field, suck up all the grain, then have that barge fly directly to a processing plant that makes bread in, say, France, and you'd have a straight pipeline with none of the stops along the way that they have to go from the grain field to the grain elevator to the train to the grain elevator to the ship to the grain elevator to the train to the truck to get the stuff to where they want, and all that costs money. So all that movement is eliminated, and all that energy in that movement's eliminated, so the cost of doing business is 80% is energy and 15% is transportation. So we would theoretically reduce our cost of doing business by 95%, which means that money stays in your pocket, and you get you earn the same amount of money as you earned before or better, but you get to keep your money instead of spending it on wasting things, because everything you buy is full of energy. I mean, this bottle of Aquafina here cost the truck to get it here and a whole bunch of energy to bottle it, and one thing and another. So if you can eliminate those energy costs, you've eliminated your overhead.
And you feel we probably have the technology to do that now?
We've had it since 1965.
I'm Jerry Pippin. We're broadcasting from the UFO Congress, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers, UFO and Alien Disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers, now available on DVD for only $19.95 at shopjerrypippin.com. Gordon Novell is our guest. We're here on the beautiful Colorado River in Laughlin at the Aquarius Casino Resort. So you look back over this 50-plus years, and not only are they robbing you every day.
Government by a gangster.
But in addition to that, if you stop and think about it, I guess if you could move things instantaneously, you wouldn't have the airplane crashes, the automobile accidents.
UFOs don't crash very often unless somebody causes them to.
In other words, the UFO crashes that we investigate here, they were probably caused by us with weapons of some sort?
Yeah, probably microwaves or something like that, or some missile shot through the top of a hole in a bunker where they were keeping nukes. That's one way they could have done it. Or they just ran into a lightning bolt, and they came from a planet that didn't have lightning, and next thing they knew, they were on the ground. There's three or four scenarios. I like the suicide scenario.
Tell me about the suicide scenario.
I think that there are alien civilizations out there that have cloned their, we'll call them their help. their immigration help. They clone them, and these little guys know that when you die, you don't die, so dying is kind of, like Al-Qaeda, you get 72 dancing virgins. Well, instead of that, you just get to go to a nicer place and get out of this spiritual body, and I mean out of this material body and get into a spiritual body. So I think they probably know a lot more about metaphysics and religion than we do, by a bunch. They know what it's all about. We are guessing.
You just mentioned something. You mentioned Al-Qaeda. Back there in the Carter administration, I think you were involved in some terrorism investigations or something, right? Freeing a hostage or something?
Yeah, I got a hostage out of Beirut. That was, I don't brag about it, but it was a very rough proposition.
Well, didn't they catch you during the process of it?
Yeah, that was the idea. I had to get caught.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I didn't go in there.
How do you volunteer for something like that?
By somebody writing a check for $50,000. That's how. Give me the $50,000, and I'll go do your deed.
And so you did it, and they released you too. Obviously, you're here.
They like me. They were impressed because I had a letter from Khomeini that gave me authorization, a fatwa letter, to get this hostage out.
Was it a real letter?
Oh yeah, it was from Khomeini. They held me in prison for a couple of weeks while they checked the letter out before they released the hostage for me.
And so you're no stranger to danger. What's the most dangerous thing you've done?
Fooling around
besides
with
to be on the show.
Fooling around with some women that I
oh, I
wish
understand.
I had to fool around with.
Well, hey, well, you know, you ended up in court.
I had
court.
Some good time.
You had one time over women, so we don't want to get into that subject.
Yeah, I married a couple of beautiful ones. It was a mistake.
Well, that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like the charm of it all, huh?
Yeah, but that's... So
well, that goes back because you went to Hollywood early on. Were you going to be an actor, producing and directing?
Yeah, but at that time, the industry was... There were more fags than there were legitimate people, so I kind of couldn't handle that.
So, you had to deal with some unsavory characters like that in New Orleans, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, they walk around there, too.
Well, I meant if the movie was even close, when they're talking to you about it, you were out there... doing a lot of things. I'm talking about the JFK movie now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got kind of close to that. That was a little bit... I got too close to the candle for the flame. Yeah. The flame was a little warm. Next thing I know, I go from being Garrison's chief of security one day to his most important material witness the next day. That's quick.
Now, I understand that. Now, you really feel, don't you, Gordon? And you know, I know you know deep in your heart and probably have evidence for it, that the same people that did Kennedy and are still around doing everybody else.
I would have to believe that based on what I know, that the people who whacked Kennedy were a combination of the German Galen organization and probably Majestic 12 and some folks from the FBI because they had to cover it up. And the mafia who probably pulled the triggers.
As your good friend Jim Morris says, all of the suspects.
All the suspects. Yeah, yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, they had a nice little show going there.
Gordon Novell is our guest. We're here at the UFO Congress in Laughlin, Nevada. It's not easy to get here. Gordon ended up taking a bus.
Yeah.
It's not easy to get here at all. Gordon, I took a bus here once. That's the reason I knew about the bus station in a major. They shake everybody down, and then they go down about 60 miles, and anybody can get on that bus if wanted to. So
yeah,
it's kind of
like
silly.
I said, you know what?
It seems to me that we've had lots of strange things like that happening over the years, and this Homeland Security issue all the way around looks like it's just a way to make money.
It's a farce. I mean, the whole system today is a grand farce. I mean, all these... let me have the terrorists. I would rather have my freedoms, and you can scare the hell... and let the terrorists go ahead and scare the hell out of me, but let me have my freedoms, all right? Don't fool with my freedoms. I'll take my risk with the terrorists. Don't worry about it.
Speaking of freedom, you were involved in Watergate, and you almost lost your freedom.
Yeah, well, I almost went to jail for conspiracy to obstruct justice and erasing all the tapes. So I was accused of that, and I was guilty. So
yeah, so you're going to confess now?
Yeah,
past the statute of limitations.
Yeah, well, past the statute. Right. Yeah, but I managed to counter intimidate Jaworski and threaten to expose his hand.
That's a special prosecutor.
Yeah, he wanted me to come home, and he was very angry at me for conspiring with Colson to erase all the tapes. And
what kind of guy is Chuck Colson, really? I guess he was rotten then, and he went to prison and turned out to be a minister.
No, I liked him when he was rotten
a
lot
better. I know
that.
I can tell that.
Yeah, I mean, he was a real human being. Yeah, I mean, anybody to walk over his grandmother and step on his grandmother to get a president elected is my kind of guy. But, you know, he was real friendly until he got to prison. After he got to prison, he ratted me out on the tapes thing about... And I don't know whether that traded him some years. I hope it did. But
What was going on with Watergate there? I mean, it seems like it's such a minor crime.
Watergate was a totally bogus operation. It was caused by USA versus Novell for interstate transportation of electronic intelligence equipment in Reno in 1969.
Now, you're pretty good at electronic intelligence, right?
They say I am.
Okay, I have. So
some people say I am.
Well, I've heard that before. It's the reason I said that.
Yeah.
I've said that. So you've done your... your share of this sort of stuff.
I've heard some.
Can you give me a little background?
Well, it started off with me developing a machine that I put in the Oval Office at the White House that made it impossible for foreign agents to bug the president's conversations or a sleeper agent on the National Security Council walking in and tape recording the thing. That in turn got me into other things, but yes, I have made surveillance equipment in the past, the best there ever was. I invented about half of it.
So when we talk about these alien reproduction vehicles, you're no stranger to technology.
No, I like technology.
So we're talking about Gordon Novell, who's been involved in all kinds of government intelligence and counterintelligence operations, but at the same time, you got a brain there. You've done a lot of developing of a lot of different things, including all this intel equipment.
Yeah, well, I've done some interesting stuff in the past. So I've built some technologies and got some patents that worked out and keep me afloat. Nickel a here or two, you know.
Yeah, now the reason I bring all this up is as we get around to alien reproduction vehicle, because this is a UFO conference, you literally are very serious, because this company that you've been associated with, I mean, you put together these people. You got some operatives, but you'd like to get a couple of people who've really been on the inside, like out of the Area 51, to come over.
Yeah, right? Most of the ones that come out of the closet are bogus. Paul McGovern and Gene Lukowski and Ernie Kellerstrass, maybe Kellerstrass is real, but most of them are pseudonyms for somebody else, you know. They're all bogus. I can't find
them. I fully expected somebody to come up and, because I feel the same way you do about these people, these agents. One guy tried to pass himself off as Paul McGovern.
I don't believe him.
No, he doesn't exist, I don't think.
He's bogus. He's either Rick Doty or Bob Collins, take choice.
Yeah, and Rick was supposed to come down here and talk, but I haven't seen him.
Well... I think he's afraid to talk because Ron's one of my contacts at Langley's a little pissed at him. So
you're a CIA guy there. He even wrote me an email.
Yeah.
Very, very curious one, however. He told me just enough to make me nervous that I would like to find out more. I guess that's the technique they use, right?
Yeah, well, my guy is up there.
He's a good guy.
Yeah,
right?
Man, he's the best of the best. He's as patriotic as the red, white, and blue gets, and he's got courage and integrity and honor. I'm not going to mention his name. Most people.
No, we can't mention the. But we know who we're talking about.
Yeah,
and
right.
Most people do too. That not most people, just a few people in an inner circle. But there are good guys in the CIA, in other words.
Yeah, in fact, I got to tell you that the CIA is like a bunch of Eagle Scouts. They're my favorite bunch of guys because they're all patriotic. Most of them that reported about the weapons of mass destruction were not there. Our guy wrote 14 reports and said, hey, they're not there. That's BS. Don't do it. And I did everything I could to stop the invasion, but Ramsey and I don't drag enough weight to overcome the likes of a Rumsfeld.
When we talk about what's going on today, we get back to 9/11. Jim Mars and I are working on a series on 9/11. It'll premiere in 2 weeks. And basically, Gordon, you a well-known person. I'd like to maybe get your help occasionally. Can I run a few things by you and see what you think about it?
Yeah, go ahead.
And
9/11 is...
The check's in the mail.
Yeah, 9/11's bogus. It's bogus gets. I mean, it's Kennedy all over again. Just a big. They've learned how to go from killing a president to killing off 3,000 Americans. You know, where is Osama bin Laden? I mean, you know, you can find a roach in the rainforest in Brazil, and we can't find Osama bin Laden because they don't want to find him, and they don't want to find him because Bush is still friendly with the bin Laden family. And Osama is still a member of the family. So, you know, they don't want to find him. It's bogus. It's all bogus. Everything's bogus. There is no find Osama and get Osama.
We are going to go into great detail on that in some future shows. And Gordon, as you heard here on the air, is committed to help us a little with this. Did you think they planned 9/11 the way it turned out?
When I saw that building number 7 come down that afternoon, I knew that that all was bogus, because you can't wire a building and blow it up that quick. And why did they blow up the building? There was nothing the matter with the building. There was nothing the matter. That guy just collected insurance. That guy, Paul Silverman, or whatever his name is a gangster.
Yeah.
They're criminals.
And Silverstein.
Silverstein,
If we're going to get sued for libel, we might as well do it right.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Silverstein is a crook. He's a crook who insured the buildings and got his money and took them down.
Now, you went to Waco and you did an investigation, and our buddy Bob Ricks, you know, the FBI, we've had a few run-ins, but you, not like you.
I always thought Mr. Ricks was a major league war criminal.
He
killed a bunch of babies and women and children. Gassed them, shot them, burned them alive.
And you guys went to court on that case, and you had to do it civilly, right?
Yeah, and the judge that we had to face was the judge who engineered it to begin with, Walter Smith. He's the one that caused it. He's the one who actually caused Waco to happen. So how could we win? And then the Fascist Fifth backed him up, and the Supreme Fascist group up there that Bush appointed, they backed them all up. You can't beat the government. If you catch them dead-handed, they're going to let them go. That's why 9/11, I don't know if we could get them to confess, I'm not sure that that would help.
It seems to me, and when we're talking about these things, and you've been involved since the early 60s, were you ever, did you come on board after the Bay of Pigs or before?
During.
During, okay.
I got accused of burglary of an ammunition dump with a whole bunch of CIA materials with CIA stamped all over it, stamped in our arms, which was a CIA proprietary.
Did you?
By Sam Cummins. No, we didn't burglarize anything. We just gave the Cubans what I was told to give them. My control just happened to pop up. I had a drag strip, and the bunker was out there filled full of these neat explosives, and we just backed the truck up and took them all out, sent them over to Cuba. Boom, bang, went in for the Bay of Pigs. They were diversionary explosives. But later Garrison found out about it and charged me with burglary, but nobody ever prosecuted me because I didn't steal anything. Can't steal what belongs to you.
That's a good argument. You've had a special relationship with Ramsey Clark all this time.
Yeah, I've been Mr. Clark's Doberman since about 1966, 67. I started working for him when I was coming out of the White House.
We've been talking to Gordon Novell. We have about 10, 12 more minutes on another segment, but we wanted to flush these things out. I was skipping around a lot, Gordon, but basically we wanted to flush these things out and let people know. Gordon Novell is here, and he's ready to go public, and you have been doing it for a little while.
Yeah, for the last couple of months, I'm taking the high road, because I figure it's harder to kill somebody who's visible than it is to kill them when they ain't.
Well, yeah. That's been my hope,
and
I hope you're right.
Well, I do have those CD-ROMs I told you about.
Yes, you do. You have a little insurance.
I have a little catastrophe insurance is what I call it. If these CD-ROMs got on the web, the stock markets would crash in a month. In very rapid order.
You just heard Gordon Novell explain how he's still here. A lot of people have been listening to this conversation saying, well, if that's really happening, how come they didn't just knock him off? Because they do knock people off, right?
Yeah, well, you know, you don't kill that which is going to destroy you.
We'll be right back. I'm Jerry Pippen.
In March of 1997, a huge triangular ship appeared over Phoenix. Thousands saw it, and even now, years later, Phoenix is a place of UFO intrigue, sightings, experiences.
This didn't look like like anything I'd ever seen in my life.
Hear about it on The Jerry Pippin Show.
We're now talking to Gordon Novell here in Laughlin, Nevada. I'm Jerry Pippin. Gordon, you've gone public, a public man. We just talked about that. What's your goal here? I know you got this big movie deal going Tuesday. I hope you get it signed.
Yeah, me too.
That's going to be a trilogy, right?
Yeah, it's sort of like Back to the Future for real. You know, a UFO is nothing but the DeLorean in the movie was nothing but a UFO and hiding in the skin of a stainless steel sports car.
Well, you've actually had experience with John DeLorean, too, right?
Oh, yeah. I was the guy who got him out of all that trouble.
And you want to tell us how you did that? Or?
Yeah, I obstructed the hell out of justice.
Well, I guess
that pretty much. I had the U.S. attorney about to jump out of his room. He was scared to death of me. So I mean, they kept finding their bugs in their phones. I wonder how that happened.
now we got about 10 minutes left. What's your project that's most dear to you right now? It's getting this movie off, I guess.
Yeah, we're working on the movie. The movie is the story of how it's a true story about how we got our hands on the technology and are putting the sword to Majestic's throat and saying either let us white world it and save the planet or we'll.
So in other words, you're doing just like some of the neocons these days. You're laying out your plan. You're going to tell them what we're doing, and then you're doing it.
Yeah,
and you're doing it in the movie.
Yeah, we're gonna make the bad guys. They can either become heroes in the movie and be nice and let us have that technology, so we don't have to develop it, and we can just start manufacturing it. Or they can find themselves in the movie.
Have you thought about you're a great guy for study groups,
yeah,
and research.
Yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of people don't know that about you, but yeah. you really are.
Yeah.
Have you thought about the ramifications of when you do get this free energy going? I mean, I don't know how they could keep it away. I mean, it looks like Mother Nature is going to lose all the petroleum before we get.
We're going to run out of it,
yeah.
But we're not going to run out of it before we collapse the atmosphere and end up burning ourselves alive, because that is the great fear, is
now,
the global burning.
You people in Washington tell you this may happen soon.
Yeah, the tipping point is a Professor Lovelock, who wrote a book, James Lovelock, called Revenge of Gaia, that says that we're about 24 to 36 months from the tipping point where we can't fix it.
Wait a minute, 2 to 3 years?
Maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, it can go quick. It can go quick. The ice caps are melting real fast.
Yeah,
polar
I understand
bears
that
are,
part.
The polar bears are drowning. They got no place to go. They got no place to eat. We're about to get rid of the polar bear and get rid of ourselves, and we follow him right behind. So,
Gordon, speaking of that, what's the story on chemtrails?
Chemtrails is a super secret program spending billions of dollars daily to put up stuff in the atmosphere to try to keep the heat from burning up the ground and making things hot enough to ultimately melt everything. They're flying them over as many chemtrail flights over the pole as there is anywhere else on Earth. So they're, if you look up in the sky, you can see
so
them.
They're trying to reflect the heat or
yeah,
keep it
yeah,
back
yeah,
in?
Yeah, those trails spread out in the clouds, and the clouds reflect the heat up every day, and they do it. They start off early in the morning, and by the afternoon, they got some clouds, and so they cut the heat by about 50%. And it's nothing, but if you look at those planes, there's no end number on their tails. They're big, huge airliners. They're carrying about 300,000 pounds of aluminum oxide and other cute little barium oxide. They're distributing it, and they're causing a lot of people a lot of environmental problems, but they don't give a damn because they're worried about killing the heat. So chemtrails is all about global warming.
And global warming, as we mentioned, the main problem is the tundra melts. The gases get in the air, and that kills people, but
All that ice under the polar caps is full of methane. You can take a chunk of that ice out of a bore bit and pull it up, and you can literally put a match to the ice, and the gas is constantly once you take it out of its covers, it'll release into the atmosphere, and there's about 70 trillion tons of it, and that's enough to set the whole Earth into go boom, burn up everything on the planet overnight. And in fact, one big boom, and it flashes, and there's no oxygen left for anybody to breathe if you survive the fires, because it'll catch everything on fire, and we're all going to be toast. They don't tell you how bad it really is, because global warming goes to global burning, global heating goes to global burning, and you can literally fry the whole Earth. That's the big problem, and that's the super secret. And where that money's coming from, everybody would love to know. I'd love to know, how are they funding it? You know, because it's a huge program. It's billions.
Many
billions.
So
it costs money to fly them big airplanes.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, just the fuel alone.
I mean, you paint this doomsday scenario. Is there any hope at all? I mean, it's almost too late.
If the boys at 51 will relent and let's make peace and save the world, we can do that. If they don't, then they can watch themselves in the movie, because we're going to paint them as the gangsters they are.
What do you think they really think, these guys? Or they just don't care?
Most of them collect a paycheck and click their heels to some generals who click their heels to some bankers in Europe. I call them gangbangsters. And the gangbangsters run the world and tell us what to do, and the generals work for them.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I want to promise the audience we'd find your take on MJ-12. What's the deal there? This is a secret society?
Yeah, secret apparatus, which means an intelligence arm, and it's been out there since about, probably in the early 40s. As early as maybe the late 30s, early 40s.
Is this a spinoff of the old Illuminati, or is this something
different? No, they were originally created by the Joint Chiefs of Staff and by General Marshall.
So this is a U.S. creation.
Yeah. But except that once they got the alien technology functional from the back engineering, then at that point Kissinger turned it all over to the Illuminati and the Bilderbergers.
When we talk about... can we name names? I mean, McConnell, appointment of Bush. I've always heard his name connected with
MJ-12. He's supposedly MJ-1, and now he's the head of our intelligence organization, so it looks like they've had a coup.
And we didn't even notice.
Yeah, nobody saw him coming.
Okay. And then we got Gates over there at defense. Is that significant?
It's significant because Admiral Inman, who used to be a friend of mine, is
Bobby
MJ.
He said used to be. What happened?
Well, he won't talk to me now.
Really?
I don't know. He won't return my phone calls.
Hmm.
So I'm a little unhappy with Robert.
Well, so what's significant about all of that?
Well, the significance is if they don't release this technology, we're going to all go to hell in a handbasket real soon, probably by around 2012.
Now, Inman knows all about this.
Oh, absolutely.
You think Stansfield Turner does? Now, you worked in that administration.
I don't know about...
He seems like a decent guy.
About that, Admiral Turner and I, we're not at odds. I'm not at odds with anybody. They say I'm a super patriot around the CIA these days.
Yep.
So I can't tell you anything except what I know. And what I know is that if we don't get control of that technology and get that technology to replace our choo-choo trains and our steamboats and our utility reactors and our coal-fired plants and our gas-fired plants, we're all going to be dead.
Okay, we got about a minute left. We got to get the challenge out there again. We got to get the Area 51 boys. You got some evidence, right?
Oh, we got a lot of evidence. I mean, we got more evidence than we know what to do with.
So, now, what do we got to do here? We got to get them to release it for an organization like yours.
We want to trade the patents that we stole from them. We want to trade them back.
And you think you can do that?
Yeah. Why not? They can't come out with them. How are they going to say we stole it from the aliens? I don't think they're going to.
And you actually have these patents?
Yes.
And your group.
Yeah, we didn't get patents, but we found another way around it, because they won't let you have any patents. They'll take them away from you under national security. So we prepared affidavits, and we set it up so that we could take our case to the International Patent Court of The Hague. Then we went and made some deals with some foreigners to file some patents, and we were very adroit about how we did all of this. So we're sitting.
So in other words, you got your bases covered.
Yeah, we own the alien technology. We just want them to turn over the hardware.
What are the odds? You think you've played the long shots before?
The odds are very good because I'm saying to them, do you want to bury your children and your grandchildren in the same grave with yourself in about 5 or 6 years and watch everybody get toasted, or do you want to do the righteous thing and come out of the closet and let us have that technology and get rid of them stinky gasoline engines? I like gasoline, you know. I mean, I like the race cars and all that stuff, but let me tell you something. We're killing ourselves. We got to get rid of that gasoline. That gasoline, that oil, and that coal are junk. That's ancient technology. We need to throw it away.
Well, you're a Southern boy. You would like racing cars.
Oh, yeah. I always like the whole world land speed record for unlimited sports cars. Still do.
Right. I understand. We're out of time, or we could follow that up. Basically, folks, it's GordonNovell@yahoo.com.
And G.Novell@yahoo.com.
Okay, we'll get it right.
Yeah.
And he's the only man I know that's wired. First time I met him, he was in a suit, had a tie, something in his ear, a little BlackBerry thing in his arm, and he was talking to me, talking to other people, and getting messages. What's that earphone, a cell phone?
No, that's one of those Bluetooth earphones. That's hands-free.
Okay, so
that lets,
so
it lets you me were, play with.
You're connected.
Yeah, I'm wired. I'm wired.
Gordon, it's been a pleasure.
We've
got to do something to save this country.
Save
the world.
I don't want to be saving the world. I just want to get the money.
There's an honest man for you, and that's a good way to close the show. Roberta Scott's been our in-studio producer, actually on location. We're not in the studio here. We're in the lobby of the convention center at the Aquarius Resort Hotel. Our tape editor's James Swartley. Until next time, this is Jerry Pippin. Cheers.
The doors are finally open at shopjerrypippin.com. Explore our new iShop. It's open and growing. You can use any major credit card or your checking account with our PayPal connection. Our first edition t-shirt selections features 3 different Jerry Pippin UFO Files designs. In addition, we will be adding collector t-shirts from select UFO conferences, as well as several novelty items. Check us out at shopjerrypippin.com.